Penguin Random House Audio presents Roar, Revised Edition. Match your food and fitness to your unique female physiology for optimum performance, great health, and a strong body for life. By Stacey T. Sims, PhD, with Celine Yeager. Read for you by Gina Daniels. Note to listeners, this program contains a downloadable bonus PDF that includes exercise pictures, recipes, planning charts, and other useful resources in the book. Introduction. You are not a small man. Stop eating and training like one. Long before I was a nutrition scientist and exercise physiologist, I was an athlete. I ran, I raced bikes, I competed in triathlons, including the Ironman World Championships in Kona, Hawaii, and Xterra Worlds in Maui, Hawaii. I wish I'd known then what I know now. See, back then, I trained and fueled myself like a man, because that's what everyone did. Sure, I took in fewer calories because I was smaller, but I followed the same progressive training plans, ate the same bars and gels, and raced like a guy. And I suffered because of it. Some races I would feel great, but others, especially those that were in the week or so before my period started, were awful. I wouldn't be able to handle the heat, even though I prepped for it. I got dehydrated, I lost power, I had gastrointestinal issues. Being a scientific person by nature, I started taking notes on all my races in an attempt to spot trends and get to the bottom of my uneven performance. My initial suspicion was that it was something in my training plan, that I didn't taper right, or I didn't have the right level of fitness going into each race. It never occurred to me that it was actually my physiology working against me. Or more specifically, I was not working properly with my physiology. The breaking point was ending up in the medical tent at Ironman Kona after becoming hyponatremic, low sodium levels in the blood. I distinctly remember riding out to Javi, the halfway point of the 112-mile bike portion of the course, in winds so intense that I saw a woman about my size get picked up by the wind and dumped into the ditch on the side of the road. Yes, I was freaking out and probably not 100% on top of my fueling needs. But I noticed on the way back that I had a low-grade headache and was getting swollen. I knew those were early signs of hyponatremia, so I pulled a couple of gastrolyte tablets, a glucose and electrolyte combination, out of my pocket and ate them ASAP. Within a few minutes, I had to pee like a racehorse. I then spent the remaining time of the race wondering if and why any of my fellow teammates from New Zealand had similar issues. When the race was said and done, I asked the other Kiwi women how they found the race. What was incredibly interesting was that those of us in the high hormone phase, a few days out from getting our periods, had borderline hyponatremic issues. Two ended up in the medical tent with clinically low blood sodium and on IV drips. My friends who were in the low hormone phase, day 1 through 14 of your menstrual cycle, starting with the first day of your period, had great races and didn't have any fluid or heat issues, even though we all did the same heat acclimation protocols and followed the same nutrition protocols. This prompted me to change my PhD topic from altitude to heat and to try to figure out why those of us in the high hormone phase had experienced such problems. That's when I decided to become a biohacker for the female race. I was already living in New Zealand and studying for my PhD in environmental exercise physiology, nutrition science at the University of Otago, where I had access to a lab, state-of-the-art data analysis systems, and lots of active friends, teammates, and colleagues. With full access to an environmental chamber, core temperature monitoring systems, blood analysis equipment for such things as hemoglobin, hematocrit, fluid balance, and other hormones, a refractometer for urinalysis, and fully supportive PhD supervisors, who are wicked smart, and lab managers. I went to work researching how hormones impact thermoregulation, macronutrient usage, hydration, performance, and recovery. Right out of the gate, it was apparent that sex differences extend far beyond ponytails and sports bras. I soon developed what has become my mantra today. Women are not small men. That may seem blatantly obvious, but for ages, that's how most sports nutrition manufacturers treated us. They simply formulated products that had fewer calories and put them in pretty packages, maybe tossing in extra calcium or a bit of soy protein, and labeled them women's specific. For many years, women got the nutritional equivalent of shrink it and pink it. That's a huge disservice, and it's time to acknowledge, treat, train, and fuel women as the different physiological beings we are. Hormone power. Hormones are your body's messengers. They course through your veins, delivering orders from your organs to your brain, and vice versa, to perform nearly everything you do. Hormones tell your body when to eat, sleep, and even when to grow. They give us our appetite and sex drive. They help us have babies. They make us happy, sad, and giddy in love. In men, these hormones are pretty stable day in and day out, though they certainly change over a lifetime. In women, however, it's another story. And that story centers on the menstrual cycle. The menstrual cycle not only has a profound effect on your fertility and moods, and chocolate cravings, it also can significantly affect your training and performance. Yet, very few coaches and trainers take it into consideration with their athletes, even those in the most elite competitive spheres. Case in point, marathon world record holder Paula Radcliffe made headlines around the world when she dared to speak about periods and performance, calling out coaches and sports doctors who intervene in ways that make things worse. The legendary endurance runner plainly proclaimed, "They are men and just don't understand." Radcliffe recalled a time in 2013 where British athletics medics gave fellow runner Jessica Judd norethisterone, synthetic progesterone, a female hormone produced in the ovaries and adrenal glands that helps the body prepare for conception and pregnancy and regulates the menstrual cycle, to delay her period at the 2013 World Championships. Judd lost. Radcliffe, who had been given synthetic progesterone herself in the past and found it made things 100 times worse, wasn't surprised. In fact, Radcliffe told the BBC that she broke the world record at the 2002 Chicago Marathon while suffering from menstrual cramps. She wants the public to know this because everyone finds it so surprising. In 2015, former British number one female tennis player Annabel Croft told the BBC that the impact of sportswomen's menstrual cycle on performance is the last taboo, and that women suffer in silence. In good news, women are being less silent. In 2016, Chinese Olympic swimmer Fu Yuanwei made headlines in The Guardian and around the world after she fell short in her leg of the 4x100 medley relay and her team came in fourth, saying, "It's because my period came yesterday, so I felt particularly tired. But this isn't an excuse. I still didn't swim well enough." In August 2022, Great Britain sprinter Dina Asher-Smith missed gold in her 100-meter finals at the European Athletic Championships, which she later blamed on cramps related to her period. As she told BBC Sport, "It's something I think more people need to actually research from a sports science perspective. And I feel that if it was a men's issue, we'd have a million different ways to combat things." And in 2022, Lydia Ko, who later that year became golf's world number one, was praised by women around the world for being honest about her period during a broadcast interview. During the final round of a tournament, her physical therapist was working on her back. When a reporter asked her what was up, she said, "It's that time of the month. When that happens, my back gets really tight, and I'm all twisted." She left the reporter speechless, according to the report in CNN. But the rest of us cheered, and have plenty to say about how it's about time periods are spoken about openly and plainly. So, we've made progress over the past decade, but as these examples show, we still have a way to go. And it is certainly frustrating that it's 2023. And so many people are still stumbling around in the dark about what is a fairly straightforward hormonal phenomenon that occurs like clockwork in half the population. You'll find a detailed discussion of how the menstrual cycle influences performance in Chapter 2. But to boil it down, Women have two main hormones.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?